CBS News. Resistance to the martial law crackdown persists in some parts of Poland, and some of it is literally underground. Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Radio Warsaw says nearly 3,000 miners have controlled two Silesian coal mines since last Thursday. Government officials say they're trying to talk the miners out instead of risking a replay of what happened in another region last week when seven miners were shot and killed. Solidarity leader Lech Wałęsa remains in custody, and he also remains silent. Unconfirmed reports reaching Vienna say Wałęsa is refusing to talk to communist authorities unless Poland's Roman Catholic primate, Archbishop Józef Gimp, is involved, and Gimp is balking unless Wałęsa is involved. William Shoffley, a former American ambassador to Poland, was asked whether the support of Solidarity by the church is making it harder to reach a compromise.
The regime knows how strong the church is in Poland. The Communist Party tried to repress the church in the early 50s, even arresting the then primate for 3 years. And when I was in Poland, all the party leaders said that this had been the greatest mistake they'd ever made with the church. And this particular military government is in danger of doing the same thing.
However, some dispatches from Poland this morning do quote sources close to Archbishop Gimp as saying that some progress is being made. They give no details. Now this message.
The executive unemployment line grows longer as the recession deepens, and according to a recent article in the Wall Street Journal, no industry or region is immune. So have a pencil ready for an important offer from the Journal that can help keep you informed of news like this, happening anywhere in business that could affect your future and your company's future. Other Journal articles reported on how the deregulation of airlines has led to red-hot fare slashing, why all work and no play is becoming a problem for two career families. Stocks, some analysts say, should not be in your portfolio, and why it might be wise to wait a while before setting up a 1982 individual retirement account. The Wall Street Journal. It's all the business news you need when you need it. Right now, you can get 26 weeks of the Journal, one for every business day of the week, for less than $1.60 per week. That's just $41 for 26 weeks, less than $1.60 per week. So if you're serious about business in the continental U.S., call toll-free 800-228-6600. That's 800-228-6600, except in Nebraska. You'll be billed later.
During the past week, Israel and the United States have been openly at odds over Israel's annexation of the Golan Heights. That action prompted the United States to suspend the recently signed Strategic Cooperation Agreement, and Prime Minister Begin then proclaimed the agreement canceled, accusing the United States of treating Israel like a vassal state. But a report now circulating in Jerusalem says the United States may not take any more stringent action, and we'll hear about that from Bruno Wassertile.
A leading Israeli newspaper reports that the United States has decided not to support any move for sanctions against Israel when the UN Security Council reconvenes on January 5th to take steps regarding Israel's annexation of the Golan Heights. In a dispatch from Washington, the diplomatic correspondent of the independent daily Yediot Ahronot says that a senior American official told him that Damascus has already been informed that the U.S. will not back sanctions. According to the report, the senior official said that the option of sanctions had been dismissed after Israel declared its readiness to negotiate a peace settlement with Syria at any time without preconditions, presumably meaning that the issue of the Golan Heights could also be put on the negotiating table. In Israel, it's thought unlikely that Damascus will change its 30-year-old position of never negotiating peace with the Jewish state. Bruno Wassertile, CBS News, Jerusalem.
Syrian President Hafez Assad is beginning a tour of Saudi Arabia and the Persian Gulf states today, and Damascus Radio says he will discuss a joint Arab response to Israel's annexation of the Golan Heights. More news in a moment.
I'm home.
Hi, honey. How was your physical exam?
Okay, I guess. But one thing is clear. I really have to quit smoking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really. And I've made the decision.
Great. But can you?
Darn right. I've done some investigating, and I bought these.
Bantron Smoking Deterrent Tablets.
If you really want to stop smoking, Bantron will help. It's the scientific formula that can help you break the nicotine habit.
You've already started with Bantron?
Right. I took one Bantron tablet after lunch today, and I feel like I'm on my way to quitting.
Great.
Bantron has a buffered formula that works fast, and it really helps ease your craving for nicotine.
That's half the battle right there.
It sure is. I'm going to keep taking Bantron.
Mm-hmm.
One tablet after each meal.
Right.
That's my plan. But
But what?
I feel like I've already had my last cigarette.
Oh, honey, if I had a bottle of champagne, I'd pop it open right now.
Bantron tablets have the most effective formula you can buy to make it easier to quit smoking. The more you want to stop, the more Bantron will help you stop. Bantron can help you break the cigarette habit. Available at supermarkets and drugstores. Use only as directed.
The Labor Department this morning releases its report on consumer prices in November. No more than a modest increase is expected from October, when the consumer price index rose 0.4%. That helped hold inflation for the first 10 months of the year to 9.6% on an annual basis, and some experts believe the rate for the entire year will end up at less than 10%. Florida is getting some relief from the weekend cold wave, but even so, Tallahassee reported a low temperature during the night of 15 degrees.
This is Spectrum on the CBS Radio Network. Personal opinion on issues of public interest from six different viewpoints. Now, one of those perspectives.
I'm Kevin Phillips. For the better part of a decade now, the Christmas season has struck me as a time when American society could profit from condemning Ebenezer Scrooge a little less and paying a little more attention to the curative effects of so-called skinflint economics. The national lesson has finally been learned, I think. Washington has begun to take up old Ebenezer's economics with a vengeance. Perhaps too much of a vengeance, though, and that's the problem. What began as a worthwhile movement towards fiscal responsibility is beginning to verge on being harsh and even hypocritical, possibly to a degree that could even wind up discrediting the whole federal budget-cutting movement. After all, it's difficult to convince people in the hinterland to accept deep federal program cutbacks while Washington is going back to lavish party giving. What I'm suggesting, I guess, is that maybe it's time for Washington policymakers to think about changing Scrooges. The first Scrooge-type approach has done its job, and now we might also do well to hearken to the message of a second Scrooge. The second one I'm talking about is the society to curtail ridiculous, outrageous, and ostentatious gift exchanges. Take the first letter of each of these words, S-C-R-O-O-G-N-E, and they spell Scrooge. Christmas-focused and headquartered in Charlottesville, Virginia, this organization, Scrooge, is trying to put the whammy on blatant consumption and ostentation. They've done things like protest about stores that start displaying Christmas items around Labor Day and complain about companies that have started running Santa Claus advertisements in October. Their basic goal is very simple. They're trying to get people to give simpler presents and with more emphasis on meaning than on lavish display and conspicuous consumption. I think a number of our Washington policymakers could profit from something of the same mentality. The thing is, Washington is trying to sell the American people on an Ebenezer Scrooge cutback of federal programs, but at the same time, the politicians are continuing their own very un-Scrooge-like displays of ostentation. Not long ago, when the House Ways and Means Committee Democrats went to Detroit to hold a hearing on local economic pain and misfortune, they kicked off their fact-finding with a lavish dinner party. If Washington politicians want to play Scrooge, they won't be credible unless they curb their own ostentation and high living. I'm Kevin Phillips for Spectrum.
Six personal points of view on Spectrum. Opinions not necessarily those of this station or the CBS Radio Network.
CBS News. The struggle between workers and the militia continues in Poland, and the death toll rises. Good morning. I'm Charles Osgood reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The latest on the Polish crisis from Dan Raviv at his listening post in London.
The British Broadcasting Corporation said this morning that reliable sources in Poland report the death toll in clashes between the military authorities and striking workers could be over 200. The official Polish media have reported only 7 deaths in fighting at a coal mine last week. But the Polish news agency has also confirmed reports that almost 3,000 workers are on strike underground in 2 coal mines in the southern province of Silesia. In the same area, the BBC says sources report a sit-in demonstration by 8,000 workers who barricaded themselves inside a steel factory. The same sources say there may have been major fighting in Radom, a town closed off by the military. The report speaks of poor health conditions, including gangrene and frostbite, at the detention camps where thousands of prisoners are being held. Radio Warsaw said last night that 5,000 had been arrested. Dan Raviv, CBS News, London.
Sources in constant touch with events in Poland say Lech Wałęsa is proving a major embarrassment to the ruling military authorities by refusing to speak to them. The official spokesman for the military council claims that Wałęsa's wife and children have visited him in detention and that a priest has said mass there. At the White House, President Reagan plans a brief meeting this morning with Romuald Spasowski, the Polish ambassador who defected and has been granted asylum in the United States. Mr. Reagan has praised the ambassador's courage. More when CBS News continues.
Joe, wake up. Why did you buy such a noisy clock?
Noisy? It's just a normal ticking.
Well, it sounds like Big Ben to me.
Yeah, why don't you go back to sleep?
I can't get to sleep. I took an aspirin, too.
Aspirin? But that's for a headache. Try Compose. It's great when occasionally you can't get to sleep. Yeah, I think I might have some.
Headache? Take aspirin. Sleepless night? Take Compose. C-O-M-P-O-Z. Taken as directed before you go to bed, Compose helps make you drowsy so you can fall asleep when you want to fall asleep at bedtime.
Martha. Martha, time to get up.
Is it morning already?
What were you saying about not being able to get to sleep?
Oh, not after you gave me that Compose. It really helped me doze off.
It's Compose for you.
Headache? Take aspirin. Sleepless night? Take Compose. C-O-M-P-O-Z. Take only as directed. Get Compose from your druggist and insist upon the new formula.
Another report on inflation comes out today, the Consumer Price Index for last month. And private analysts say the figures will show that prices increased moderately. Also due out today is a hefty report on how President Reagan did in his freshman year in office. It's a White House document, but Deputy Press Secretary Larry Speake says it's not a puff piece. It will have some warts in it, too. Mexico has acted to end bargain-hunting border crossings by American motorists. The state oil monopoly is nearly tripling the price of Mexican gasoline. Regular had been selling for 36 cents a gallon south of the border. Now, it's more than a dollar. In Northern Ireland last night, paramilitary supporters of the Reverend Ian Paisley marched in protest against the American decision to bar Paisley from a tour of the United States. Paisley, a militant Protestant leader, says the American action proves the United States is worse than Russia. The FBI in New York City is investigating the possible connection of an arrested murder suspect with the October Brinks holdup that netted members of the Radical Underground. 28-year-old Betty Jean Abramson is being held on $500,000 bond. She's wanted in California in connection with the murder of a fugitive from a left-wing commune. Italian police say they have no hard clues on where Red Brigade's kidnappers are holding American Army General James Dozier. Investigators say Dozier faces fierce interrogation on his NATO activities. The price of gold has dropped to $403.75 an ounce in London. That was the morning fix, and it's down nearly $7 an ounce. Air France's Concorde is grounded today, as are most other domestic and European flights by France's state-owned airline. Flight engineers have begun a two-day strike. More after this.
The Wall Street Journal helps keep you informed of everything happening anywhere that could affect your future and your company's future. The Wall Street Journal. It's all the business news you need when you need it. Right now, you can get 26 weeks of the Journal, one for every business day of the week, for just $41. That's less than $1.60 per week. So if you're serious about business, in the continental U.S., call toll-free 800-228-5505. That's 800-228-5505. Except in Nebraska. You'll be billed later.
The world has problems, that is true, but here's our season's wish for you. That peace and goodwill just might yet work. Season's cheer from the CBS Radio Network.
With that word of cheer from CBS News correspondent Charles Osgood, we bring you greetings from Gary Shepard, Jay Jones, Jed Duval, Robert Pierpoint, Morton Dean, Marlene Sanders, and everyone else at the CBS Radio Network.
Plans are set for the annual Doodah Parade in Pasadena, California, Sunday, a spoof of the famous Tournament of Roses Parade. Marchers will include a power lawnmower drill team and a unit called the Baton Droppers. However, the Sherman Oaks tape-recorded marching band has dropped out. Can't afford the batteries. Charles Osgood, CBS News.
This is Spectrum on the CBS Radio Network. Personal opinion on issues of public interest from six different viewpoints. Now, one of those perspectives.
I'm Pat O'Brien. President Reagan finally offered a token conciliatory gesture to the striking air traffic controllers he fired last summer. He said he's changed his mind. They can seek federal employment after all. But he made it clear there isn't a chance they'll get their former jobs back. That, says the president, is an option forever closed to them. In other words, tough luck, fellas. You shouldn't have followed your union's illegal strike. The president probably thinks he's being compassionate. But lifting the ban on federal employment at a time when federal jobs are being cut extensively is almost a joke. There are very few federal jobs available for anyone right now. I have said on Spectrum before, and I'll say it again, I think there should be a way to rehire these people. Certainly not as some grand act of forgiveness. After all, that strike was illegal. But in recognition of how valuable their specialized skills are to the nation. At the same time, I'm more aware now of how those air traffic controllers who didn't strike feel about the matter. Some of them say they don't want the strikers back in the towers. There was too much bitterness, too much anger. They say the true malcontents would cause trouble, and that would endanger air safety. They may be right. I don't feel comfortable with the realization that at least some of the striking air traffic controllers figured there would be a serious accident if they walked out, forcing Reagan to concede to their demands. It makes me sweat under the collar a little to think how easily they could walk away from their radar screens, ignoring the fact that each little blip represented the lives of dozens or hundreds of people. Any one of us could have been caught in a disaster because of what they did, and I don't like that at all. But at the same time, I don't believe the majority of the controllers acted cold-bloodedly. I think they got swept up in the passion of their union's cause and lost control of their righteous indignation levels and made a big mistake. President Reagan could make a truly compassionate gesture and invite them to reapply for those jobs, not with special preference, but on a par with other people who are applying now. The troublemakers could be weeded out. I know there is no perfect solution to this unhappy situation. But if everybody who ever made a major mistake in judgment were denied a second chance, the whole world would come to a standstill. President Reagan ought to know that. Like the rest of us, he hasn't exactly got a perfect record himself. I'm Pat O'Brien for Spectrum.
Six personal points of view on Spectrum. Opinions not necessarily those of this station or the CBS radio network.
CBS News. Pope John Paul II receives first-hand accounts about the crisis in his Polish homeland. I'm Jay Jones reporting on the CBS radio network. In a midnight meeting at the Vatican, the Pope conferred with a Polish bishop who had just arrived in Rome. No details of the meeting were disclosed. John Paul also expects to hear from two envoys he sent to Poland 3 days ago. Reports from Warsaw say the military council is threatening to move against the church and priests have been arrested in some areas. The former American ambassador to Poland, William Shoffley, was asked if he sees any room for compromise.
I don't really see very many right now, unless the military government can reach out to the church, because the church is the traditional bridge in Poland. Solidarity can obviously not act. My own impression is that Bałęsa has refused to say anything. Is still being held in some kind of detention. And so that the only way that the government can resolve this problem, or try to resolve it, is to engage the church. And I see very little signs of that so far.
Reports from Poland today indicate that the death toll from clashes between workers and police may have reached 200. American intelligence sources say some 20 coal mines remain struck. Other sources say conditions at detention camps, where thousands of people are being held, are deplorable. Cases of gangrene and frostbite are reported. Warsaw Radio said today that travel restrictions are being eased for the Christmas holidays, and 9 intellectuals arrested under martial law are being released. More when CBS News continues.
He touched me.
Touch her with Chantilly, and suddenly nothing is the same. Perfume, spray mist, dusting powder.
He touched me. He touched me. And suddenly, nothing is the same.
This Christmas, touch her with Chantilly by Ubigon.
Christmas is such a happy time, but the shopping kills me. I can never think of the right gifts for the right people, especially at the last minute. But this year, I've got Christmas insurance. It's called the Whitman Sampler. If I can't decide what's absolutely right, I'm giving a Whitman sampler. It's been a tradition for so long now. And everyone loves to get a delicious Whitman sampler at Christmas.
Whitman's Chocolates, the gift America's been giving ever since 1842.
Mexico has sharply raised its gasoline prices to stop domestic waste, spokesmen say, but the increases will also stem the tide of American motorists who cross the border for bargains. Prices for Mexican gasoline are being nearly tripled in some cases. Regular goes from 36 cents a gallon to $1.08. In Northern California, work has been completed on fully restoring the 1938 Mercedes-Benz automobile that Adolf Hitler once presented to his mistress, Eva Braun. Bill Ely of station KHSL in Chico, California, says it took 3 months to transform the car back into mint condition.
Everything on the car when it left Joe Cruz's restoration plant in Chico, California, was just as it was when the car was built. The sleek two-seat, eight-cylinder auto was complete with the original red and black swastika pennant and golden swastika and eagle radiator cap. But what took the most time for the restoration crews, according to Cruz's, was the duplication of the golden paint job.
Paint job on the thing was a gold, was supposed to represent a gold-plated car, and that was probably the toughest, trying to make the paint look like gold, and I think we did.
Reports indicate the car, owned by a Scottsdale, Arizona man, is valued at $500,000. The car is labeled as the most valuable in the world. Just after the first of the year, it will go on the auction block. Bill Ely for CBS News, Chico, California.
The government releases the November Consumer Price Index today, and private analysts say the figures will show moderate inflation. More news after this.
Hi, Mom. I thought we'd better get an early start for that garage sale.
Afraid I'm not going, Judy.
But why, Mom?
Oh, I've got a nagging backache.
Oh.
You see, I started cleaning the house for the party next weekend.
And you overexerted yourself, right?
Oh, I guess.
Why don't I get you some Doane's pills? I'm sure they'll help you.
Doane's pills, of course. Now, why didn't I think of that?
Good advice. Doane's pills. It saved the day for thousands of people with simple nagging backache pain. Taken as directed, this time-proven analgesic brings temporary relief of minor backache pain brought on by overexertion, stress, or strain. Doane's pills. It brings the kind of welcome relief you may need.
Hello?
Feeling better, Mom?
Just like my old self again. Those Doane's pills are such a comfort.
The garage sale's still on. Want to go now?
Love to.
Get Doane's pills and get the better of a backache due to simple overexertion, stress, or strain. Available at drug counters or your favorite supermarket. Use only as directed.
In Watsonville, California, 18-year-old Roy Parker is recovering from a nearly lethal meal. Parker, who is from Vermont, was camping out in California 2 weeks ago when he found a patch of mushrooms. He was so hungry, he said, he ate some. The mushrooms turned out to be the poisonous growths known as death caps. 40% to 80% of those who ingest them die. But Parker, though in acute pain, was able to tell doctors what happened. And now, though he is still a little dizzy, he has beaten the odds and is alive. I'm Jay Jones, reporting on the CBS Radio Network.